Okay, continue in verse 24. To which everyone has to pass, the principle of my gospel being the entrance hall of the United Order through conversion and baptism, like ordinances and authority that I restored to my church to never be taken from the earth again. Now, the authority to baptize is an Aaronic priesthood ordinance. And so I think it's saying that this is an Aaronic system that will never be taken again from the earth. In turn, understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom, which mystery of the kingdom hidden since the beginning of time, which will henceforth be revealed to you by my chosen servant in the school of the prophets, according to the translation of these ancient records contained in the sealed set of the Mormon plates, in no way modify my ordinances before revealed to you in the standard scriptures of your faith, but that of further clarifying your understanding of my statutes and the proper authority that this allows you to obtain within the engineered system of my archenemy through the correct observance of my ordinances among you. Okay.
Why do we not have verse 25?
Good question. We're not ready for it, apparently.
Okay.
I mean, this dash system is used in the seal book, and Mauricio says it's also in the Book of Mormon, these dashes where things have been left out. I tried to ask him, well, can you give us an example in the Book of Mormon where there was the dash and what was left out? And he basically told me, no, you don't get it. You're going to have to just live this on faith for now.
Is the key there further clarifying your understanding? As we progress in our learning, it says in the beginning how we're going to go through the school, we're going to be taught. So is it safe to say that further clarification is coming?
I think so. I think that's what the School of the Prophets is for. Any
that
other
might
comments?
Be why 25 is not put in there.
Yeah.
We're not ready. Okay.
Now, you want to re-ask your question, Jeannie? Or maybe do your review of those 26 and 27 again? Or?
Well, 26 again is saying repentance is one of the primary goals, the purpose, and that through the repentance and desire to learn, to come to the Lord with a contrite spirit and a broken heart, that we will be given more of the Holy Spirit. So I think that that's what 26 is about. It says, you know, really not to waste your time. So we've heard this before. Don't cast pearls to the swine. They're not ready to hear anything. They're set in their dogma and their traditions and their belief that they have the prophet, and that's all they have to do is just, okay, he's in charge and we don't have to do anything, and totally forget that God's in charge. This is the earth that was created for us, and our purpose down here is to be able to return to live with Jesus and move to the higher dimensions. So what I think 27 is mostly about is the story of going to Samaria and how we will see people there that are there for the wrong reasons and there for the right reasons, and that we need the discernment. This was when Peter and John decided to go. So they obtained the discernment as they talked to the people. I think that's what pretension of the group, that's what they learned as talking. They were able to kind of figure out who was really believing and who was not. We see this in what's recently happened in the church in Brazil, when Mauricio went into the wilderness. Mauricio talks about the wilderness. The sealed book talks about it. Isaiah talks about it. The wilderness is the time that we are tried. And Isaiah speaks a lot about it, about how we will descend to the depths of fighting for our belief in the Lord, and then returning to be able to continue that. And that's what the wilderness is, the trial period. And everybody in scriptures have gone through that. Mauricio's come back with a new understanding. There's been a few changes in the setup, so that now Mauricio is more fully in tune with starting the United Order. And we have other people in place. Bob, I can't remember everybody's name of who's in place of what. But it's interesting, the shift. And I'm sorry, I'm getting away from 28, but now we actually have a piece of land that is, we're strongly looking at for the farm for the United Order. So is all that true? Bob, did I say all that right?
I believe so.
I think we're beyond looking at it. Aren't we under lease or something by this point? Or do you know, Bob?
The land is, from the communications that I've read, Brother Mauricio said he's going through the transactions to purchase the land. And so, you know, that process here in the United States takes a while with, you know, appraisals and forms and, you know, so on. But the I think he's agreed on a price, and in the process of, you know, buying it. So I don't know if that'll take 30 days or 60 days, but he's actively involved in planning for it. And it's at a good time to buy a farm because it's now winter. And so spring planting probably will be, oh, I don't know, October, November. I'm not sure when early spring comes down there. And so it's probably the best time to change hands and get prepared for spring. But now, who were you trying to remember, Sister Jeannie, their names?
Yeah, then, like, I mean, we've set it up with the apostles and everybody, but I don't, because a lot of them are Brazilian, I don't know really who they are or what they actually are doing.
Okay.
I'm just here for the ride. Show up.
I have a question, Bob. Do you have a plat map of this farm, what it looks like, what the layout is?
No. No. Okay. No, I don't know. Hopefully Mauricio will get one. I don't know if they have things like easements and, you know.
I just that. Like to see, I think there's a river or a lake on the property.
Yes, I think a river, because it's flowing.
Have you seen the video?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It's, I think it's smaller. It's a smaller place, but it's along the river. And yeah, I'm kind of anxious to see it one day. So I don't know exactly where it is. I'm not sure if Mauricio wants to make that known yet, but.
And you don't know how many acreage it is either, I guess.
Exactly. But yeah. I think I would say the order of, well, I don't really know. I don't think it's a large piece of property.
Okay.
But I would expect it to be maybe 40 acres or so.
Yeah.
But really? That's historical. 40 acres and a mule, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's 20. It's
20
acres.
Oh.
20 acres. That's the plot of land I had. And you have to be very careful. 20 acres is not that large if you're doing agriculture and animals.
Yep.
Start small.
My husband just said it might be 20 hectares.
Oh, that's different.
So who knows? It's either acres or hectares, and there's a big difference. So
probably hectares, because they use that system, right?
Yeah.
20? Oh, 20 hectare. Okay. That's pretty big.
Convert that to acres.
Yeah, what is hectares related to acres? Does anyone know?
Yeah, an acre is about half of a hectare. Hector.
I was going to
0.405.
Okay.
So 2.5 acres is 1 hectare.
Yeah.
So it's 49 acres. 49 acres is what 20 hectares translates to.
Oh, okay.
Almost 50 acres.
Okay.
If it's 20.
Yeah, much better.
We can have a barbecue.
Definitely.
Yeah. We'll have enough room for a barbecue.
Each animal takes up X number of space and each crop takes up X number of space. You have to pick and choose. But there are a lot of people down there that have a lot of knowledge in that, so that's good. All right. So the interesting thing I think about the next section is let's go back. The first part does talk about during Moses' time, when we couldn't endure the greater law, and that is what caused the Lord to take the priesthood of the Son of God out of their midst. And that was taken from the 12 tribes of Israel because none of them proved worthy to remain. Being proved worthy, I think, is a thing that we need to understand a lot of. When Mauricio came back from the wilderness and there were some corrections made to the order of leadership, it had to do with the worthiness of the ones who were in place of leadership and were they worthy or not. And the Lord instructed Mauricio to make some changes. It's kind of like we're hearing this from all different sides, and it is helping, for me anyway, it's helping me see different parts, and which ultimately helps me to understand I'm just a small cog in this, that the Lord's in charge, and he's really working with each and every one of us. And everyone down in Brazil to get us prepared to be a Zion people when we get down there and actually put things in place. And then it goes on to where he talks about joining the churches together, uniting them for a common cause. And he chooses 3 churches out of all the restoration churches. I didn't even know there were 3. I didn't even know there were umpteen numbers of them. I knew there was a group in Missouri and LDS. That's about all I knew. So it definitely makes sense that we have to learn from each other and be tolerant of the traditions each of us have. And so I like the fact that they go over what each church was supposed to do. Does everybody understand the purpose of each of these 3 churches that the Lord chose to bring together?
I understand a little bit of it through John, actually, through conversations I had with John, that the LDS church, their main thing is to do the missionary work as far as, like, you know, getting the Book of Mormon out to the world, which they have done, and they're continuing to do that.
Right.
No, you're talking clear. We're back on verse 11 where it talks about the three churches, the three trees.
Well, the three trees, yes, but in 28 it does specify the three churches also.
I guess I'm lost.
So
page
101.
Okay.
Let me see. About in the middle, it says, similarly, I separated three churches in frustration that were useful to me. And I love that part. Among all the others, in order to preserve my gospel, even among those who strayed from my statutes. So it's like he's going back and picking everything up. Except the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which remained on the path determined by me. So they had a purpose that the Lord had wanted to happen. He allowed to happen.
Now, which church is that? Do you notice the spelling? Is that, that's not the LDS Church in Utah.
Okay, good point.
That's the remnant church, or that's the public domain name. And it continues, which remained on the path determined by me, the Lord, through the revelation I gave to Joseph and Hiram, in relationship to lineal succession. Linear is probably not the right word there. It's interesting, in Portuguese, it seems like linear and lineal is the same thing almost. But in English, there's a big difference. Until the second generation of my chosen servants' offspring begin to modify my gospel. So I wonder if he's talking about second generation from Hiram and Joseph, both in the Joseph F. Smith, the LDS Church, and the son of Joseph Smith III, Joseph Frederick Smith, or what was Joseph Smith III's son that was became a prophet, Bob?
Hello, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was looking up a scripture reference. Joseph Smith III had three sons.
Right.
First one was Frederick Madison Smith, and that's the generation we think that officially the priesthood was gone. And then Frederick Madison Smith, upon his death, Israel A. Smith was a brother to Frederick Madison, was president of the RLDS Church, and upon his death, then W. Wallace Smith.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you have three brothers that are spread out in age enough to do that, because Joseph Smith III had three wives, one of them when he was fairly old.
It's using the domain name, or the public domain name, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter, capital Day, Saints, without the.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's another revelation that I'm trying to find for you. I believe it's in our book. Oh, it's in the, it's Article 20 of the Revelations, the one given in July 22. It talks about, it gives more explanation about these three branches.
Okay.
Where is it? I'm sorry, I'm losing it.
But that just shows that we need to read all of it to pull it, just like we need the whole entire sealed book to make sense of a lot of it.
Okay. Yeah, it's Article 20, verse 16, another long verse, but it talks about the wolf, which are the Mormons of Utah, shall dwell with the lamb, which are the Mormons of the second invitation, and the leopard, which are the remnant, shall lie down with the kid, and it goes on. So that's in verse that you could study that along, you know, with this. Okay. Verse 16 of Article 20.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
So in all of your opinion, the RLDS, what has been their main purpose?
The RLDS, you said the lineal. Which is important, just like you think of the vineyard and the trees and the grafting process and the natural branches. all of that comes together through the lineage that is provided in the RLDS church.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. I just wanted to clarify that I was on the same page. So they're the lineage, and then
yeah,
the LDS in Utah, the Utah base is to get the Book of Mormon out to the world. And then...
So, I'm sorry, go ahead, Suzanne.
And just, and the third. The third.
Third is the temple lot. But if we go back, just go back 1 second before we get on that. It continues on, and it talks about the saints' heritage in the land of Zion in the last days through a church structured on the principles of my gospel through their descendants. Also, this is on the next page, also the Church of Christ, who cling to fulfill the basic principles by observing the laws and commandments, da 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 da. So I think that more explains. Because doesn't the RLDS Church, isn't it now known as the Church of Christ?
No. No, the RLDS Church changed its name to Saints Church, I believe.
Community of Christ.
Shortly after that, they changed it to the Community of Christ, which it is now.
Oh, Community of Christ.
But there is... the Church of Christ temple lot, which is part of their name. That's that little white church that's actually on the temple lot.
Okay.
That has a group of probably church about 4,000 people or so. I mean, worldwide.
Okay. And the purpose of the Church of Christ of temple lot, to preserve the land that the New Jerusalem will rebuild on. That's what I've always thought.
Yes, and I think that's stated in Revelation. I'd have to look it up, but it's as caretakers of the temple lot, they have that temple lot, the actual 5-acre plot, whatever it is there, in a trust that's actually owned. The trust is owned by, I think, three of the apostles or whatever of that church who perpetuity, whatever you call that word, will pass on will never go for sale, hopefully, until the Lord wants it. But Samuel, it's interesting, Samuel Gould, heritage comes from, he's part of the Church of Christ Temple Lot until recently, and that's the church in Bemidji. It was a branch of the Church of Christ Temple Lot. And he still has, I think there's still a possibility that ownership of the control of that trust might fall into his hands. So maybe we'll see in the future.
Okay. I didn't realize it was such a small parcel of land, and now that makes me understand more what this next thing says. I have designated them like a lodge in the Garden of Cucumbers in order to be a guardian organization of the temple lot. And in another scripture, it refers to it being like a hut in the cucumber patch, something like that. I don't know if I can find it.
Yes, yes, in Isaiah. A hut in the cucumbers or something.
Yeah, in Isaiah. In Isaiah 1, right?
I know that it could be Isaiah. I know it was in something else that I read, but that now makes sense that this is just a tiny little parcel in this great big world, this entire earth that has been perpetuated and saved through the righteousness of men that the Lord has called from before time, preordained. I think it shows the power of God.
May I know a little bit about the temple lot, not a whole lot, but it's the original parcel of land that Joseph Smith III, or no, Joseph Smith Jr., the bishop at the time, they bought the land, was like 63 acres, and which has been divided up since then. the Mormons visitor centers on part of that land, the RLDS Community of Community of Christ Auditorium and Temple are on that land. The Church of Christ has got that 5-acre spot like at the top of the hill. And so there are people who own parts of the original temple lot, but it's not the spot that was designated for the temple. That's right next to the white church of the Church of Christ.
Okay.
I might just mention that the dimensions of that temple that was specified are the dimensions of the visitor center that the LDS Church built. Not that it means anything very much, but I want to mention the next sentence where it says, I revealed to my servant Joseph Smith, who followed my servant Brigham Young, and who, although he has departed from the priesthood more than others, I think that there's a misunderstanding. That it seems to imply that Brigham Young was the leader. And so I have suggested that it should say, I revealed to my servant Joseph Smith, who was followed by my servant Brigham Young, instead of being a follower of Brigham Young, the way the verse currently reads.
Yeah, but I think it's saying that the Church of Jesus Christ through prophecy, if you take out the word, I revealed to my servant Joseph Smith, and take that out and go the Church of Jesus Christ, who followed my servant Brigham Young. The people who followed Brigham Young. I didn't read it as Joseph following him. I see what you're saying though, Russell.
Yeah.
Because now that you read it that way, I see that. But that wasn't even in my brain when I first read it. It was that the people followed Brigham Young. See how easy we can get confused.
Yeah.
And it's convenient for me to extend the warning message and this people in parallel, as well as the other churches. If they're not willing to answer my voice through the powerful and strong that I will raise up, and it goes on, if they do not comply, I will reject them as a people. So it's saying that we need to comply of putting everybody together. That's not quite the right expression, putting everybody together. It is joining in our love for Christ that we can overcome the traditions and bring everyone into a path of righteousness in a united order. You can't have everybody's tradition being followed. It has to be what the Lord wants. And that's his purpose of showing to us we need to, this is where we start. We start with bringing the churches together. And since I feel if he's saying that, then we're near the end of the purpose of each one of them. We know the LDS is way off track. They are all corporate and money and building temples, not taking care of the orphans, not even beginning to understand the problems of this world through child trafficking and everything. You know, they're so far off in a little oblivion of their own. RLDS, the lineage, it has shown how important that is, and how it how Joseph went to Brazil to confer the lineage on Mauricio, symbolic as it was. That's fulfilled now. We're building the spiritual city of Zion to be prepared for the building of the actual Jerusalem. So there's a change in the world that the Lord is showing us. And I think this verse 28 is pretty awesome. Other thoughts about this verse?
I just like how it talks about, you know, even though Brigham Young still strayed from the precepts more than any other, the Lord still called him his servant, right? He was my servant, Brigham Young. He still made use of him despite his, you know, follies and and whatnot. So I think that's kind of a lesson to each of us, that even though we each are straying, you know, we're on our own path, or we're not doing everything that we should be doing, the Lord can still make use of us, and we can still be called his servant.
Excellent point.
Yes, it's also in the sealed book that he lets it exist for his purpose, you know, until it is time to remove it. But wow, what a wonderful job LDS Church has done and is doing, you know. I'm still in a way, proud of their hard work.
Right.
So I'm always rooting for them, but there are some things that need to be addressed. But for the missionary work they're doing is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a nephew right now who's in Ghana, and so I read his letters, you know, not every week, but every other week, kind of, you know, just, and he's having a great experience. And I mean, they just have people walk up to him and say, can I get a book? It's pretty, you know, and I mean, it is obviously a much poorer country, and I'm sure that they do see, you know, the wealth of the church in a sense, but you know, it's, it's been really heartwarming to hear him share his, you know, his testimony of the Book of Mormon. And I'm sorry, I've had a really couple of really emotional days recently with my daughter here, but you know, it's just, I guess, this interesting process that we're all experiencing, what's going on in the world, because we definitely need, you know, we definitely need Christ to come again. And anyway, so it's just been kind of inspiring to hear him, you know, quote different scriptures in the Book of Mormon and relay them to what he's doing. And, you know, it's just awesome to see that. And, you know, the Lord does reward us according to what we do, even though they're not 100% correct. You know, people are blessed because of their hearts are in the right place and their good works. And I'm just, you know, yeah, just grateful to know that God's in charge, because we've really messed things up as humans. So,
I think that's a very good point, that the Lord works through many people, many organizations, even though they may not be 100% doing everything right, they can still work through them.
And I mean, like my friend Richard in Utah, who was like, he feels a lot the same as us. Like, he knows that the LDS Church is off, and he sees, you know, he's brought up a lot of the same points, and he actually met John before he passed, and he's read a lot of Denver Suffers things, and he's like, you know, any church out there has so many flaws. So the LDS Church is just like any other. You know what I mean? Every church out there has some corruption and misleading things and aren't telling the truth. But, you know, we just have to really try to seek the good and use discernment, you know. It's just frustrating when I'm trying to, in a way, teach and influence my daughter about all this, because all of this information is just like a lot to take in, like, you know, to see, because she was saying, she was discussing it with her dad the other day, and they're like, Mom, that can't be the truth. Like, the LDS Church can't have any of the truth, you know, because God wouldn't allow that to happen, you know? And so that's hard to respond to that, you know, because, yeah. You know, because it's like, she's like, if it was really, you know, because we've had this, you know, because she knows that I have like pulled away from the LDS Church, and but I still have this belief in the Book of Mormon that she knows about. And she's like, well, how can that even be true? Because if it's God's church, then how would he allow that to happen? So it's kind of hard to explain that to somebody. It's hard for me to even wrap my head around it, but we have to know, like you just said, Valkia, that the Lord has its purposes in all of it. And I think it is about, it's about testing our faith. You know, it's really comes down to like, are we really going to have the faith to create the united order and to live that way, you know, because that's what it's going to take.
Yes, right? And the faith, yeah, and the faith to every now and then look at your own beliefs and traditions, you know, keep them against the light, and is it still correct, or is it just going through the motions, and is it, yeah, I feel comfortable here, I know the people, so mm-hmm. I'm good at where I'm at, and I don't want any more information. Right. This and is not, the message I get a lot from the LDS
people. Valkia, you're so right on all of that. It's hard to step away from that.
And I can relate because I had the same. I thought, hey, I'm baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Don't come with another church or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But I think what we have felt in is a change of heart. The Lord has laid the foundation. Well, he laid it in the pre-existence. And then with bringing the seal, the Book of Mormon and Joseph and laying that foundation from that time frame to now. And now he's asking us to take the foundation and merge them into a total truth, giving us the time to practice before we actually put our feet on in Brazil for the spiritual Zion. Just understanding the difference between the actual Zion that's still going to be built in Missouri and the spiritual Zion that we're given to build ourselves together in righteous people like the city of Enoch. I mean, it's a process, and the Lord needed the foundation of these three churches to be present, and the LDS church is huge, which means there's a lot of people that have that foundation, and imagine what's going to happen when they finally wake up, which mm-hmm. the Lord says is going to happen. And then that's so sometimes I would sit there and think, how are the missionaries going to start all over going to all these people and spreading the gospel of the sealed book? You know, how do we get people? But people are already wanting to understand more. And the word is getting out. And I think that that we have to understand the process of how we're being taught so that we can help those. You know, Valkia, just what you said, you hate to lose that feeling of being together. Well, it's a basic feeling that all humans want, but we have that through building the righteousness of the United Order. And this what the sealed book says to do with stewardship and everything. I mean, I just, when people put that together in their hearts, that's what the broken heart is, the contrite spirit, is they've learned some of that and they're looking for it that they don't get anymore in the church. And the church has become kind of social. That's, you know, when you realize that that's all it is to you. Yeah.
I want to ask a question before we get done here. If you go to verse 43, it talks about, I think it talks about the meetings we're having here. And, 42, it talks about initial program of the United Order in your homes. And in verse 43, it says, therefore, songs of praise should be included at the beginning and the end of that meeting. So should we be ending with a song?
Probably. Can't hurt. I read that too.
I will not participate until I can learn how to turn off my microphone.
Lisa has the answer to everything. All right. we're running.
Although I want to, because I really miss that. I used to really love to sing every week in church. And in fact, my daughters would be like, Mom, you're singing too loud.
Well, you need to bring your voice to Brazil.
That's all right. Sing out.
Yes.
So
if I could just say here at the end, and at the end of verse 28, it talks about the one powerful and strong. I'm assuming it's the one mighty and strong that's been prophesied. It's almost as if when that person manifests or shows up on the stage, it would be such a powerful manifestation to all the branches, and that will kind of help push us all together. But I don't know who that person is, or if it's in our generation, or if that's still some future generation, or if it's a translated being. Maybe it's one of the three Nephites, or maybe it's John the Beloved, who is the one that's mighty and strong that's prophesied to come. But when they do come, when they show up on stage, I think most people are going to probably have their attention redirected, and maybe that's the point where the majority of us wake up and realize, oh, okay, yeah, let's all move together in this direction then, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Is that where exactly? Is that in the last second, the last
Yeah, on part page 102, towards the bottom, it says that if these churches that carry my own name are not willing to answer my voice through the powerful and strong that I will raise up to you in the last days, I take that to be the one mighty and strong that we've heard about in other scriptures, to build a house for the glory of my kingdom on earth in this physical place designated by me to the central place of the New Jerusalem. If they don't do this, then I will reject them as a people, and I will do a marvelous work and a wonder through this united order that begins among you in Brazil.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's past. Maybe that's already passed, or maybe that's still a future event, but just something to think about.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
I believe it to be a future event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Rizzio has said that he's not the mighty and strong.
Well, exciting things to look forward to, keep an eye out on. Yeah, I do feel that, you know, there are a lot more like just like kind of remnant groups breaking off in Utah. Again, my friend Richard, he recently reconnected with a group that he was meeting with before COVID, and a couple of them have written some books, and one of them has written a book explaining all the same things that we understand about Brigham Young now. And so, I mean, it's out there. People are, you know, and this group meets like, I think maybe a couple times a year. They rent a conference hall, and then they're meeting in their homes. And Richard just recently went through some serious health problems, so he met with this man who was a former bishop, and they used to have a group, but now they just meet as a family. And so he went over and he actually asked for a blessing from this man, and he felt that it was good. And again, that goes on people's faith. I mean, you have the faith to ask, you know, Lord's gonna bless you. And so it's just yeah, a lot of people are questioning, a lot of people do know that things are off, but they're, you know, I had a discussion with one of my friends, and she's still, you know, she's a young women's leader in St. George, and her husband's in the serves with a young man, and they recognize that things are, you know, off, but they're like, well, but we just have to, like, and her parents too have had a lot of some issues too with like the Tabernacle Choir and stuff like that, because her father was a professor in music and a musician, and he, I guess, worked with the Tabernacle Choir, and then he's seen a lot of political things too. And she's like, as a family, we're just trying to focus on that we've made some covenants, and we want to try to stay true to our covenants, you know, which is very great and worthy, that, you know what I mean, that they, but at the same time, they know that things are off, but they're still just going through the
There are a lot of people, Suzanne. Yes, I don't mean to cut you short. We're running out of time. I want to read verse 29, because I think it wraps a lot up. And I'm going to read it, basically. And then We'll see if that helps everybody in this understanding. Even if they try to silence you, and this is on page 103 at the top, verse 29, and even if they try to silence you and persuade you to deny these things, before you are defamed for accepting the greater part of the Book of Mormon, which comes with the priesthood of the Son of God, whose laws and ordinances are purely spiritual, and which it will be revealed among those who accept and experience the minor part. So lift up your heads honorably when this begins to happen. For what greater honor can there be among true Latter-day Saints than to be classified as inadequate by men, when it is properly fulfilling everything that I, Jesus Christ, before commanded you to do? I think that's pretty powerful in what we've just discussed in everything.
Yeah,
so so I wanted to leave that with you guys, that I truly have learned a lot from just the first reading of this book. And I'm grateful that Mauricio has had the time and means to put it together and get it to all of us. So why don't we go ahead and have Suzanne do our closing prayer.
I'll stop the recording.
Okay.